What is the conflict in Yemen over and who is involved?
So if we look at what is actually happening inside the country, there's kind of several layers we can view this as. Sort of at the bottom layer, we have a conflict between the Houthi Shia group in the north, who have sort of a collective identity based around their confessional beliefs, and underneath that, a series of tribal relations and alliances, and the Yemeni state concentrated in the south. And then over that, we obviously have this wider competition, regional competition between the Iranians and the Saudis. The Saudis have committed far more resources to this conflict, but nevertheless, they see it as a struggle with their major regional competitor, Iran, who has supported, to some degree, the Houthis through arms, although little else is suggested based on what we know in terms of evidence. There's a lot of speculation and conspiracy theories. And this really relates to the desire for the Houthis fundamentally to have some degree of autonomous government, self-governance from the Yemeni state, to essentially either break away from the Yemeni state completely or have some kind of autonomous zone in which they can self-govern without worrying about power from the south as much as they currently do.
Even though it is an internal struggle, is this being seen as a proxy war between the Saudis and the Iranians?
Well, it sort of depends on who you ask. The Saudis, in many ways, I think, view that this is a conflict relating to their existential security in relation to Iran. Now, this is similar to how they saw Bahrain, where there wasn't a great deal of evidence of external Iranian support for the Bahraini protests. However, the fear was that, well, these are a Shia group, you know, the Saudis being a very conservative form of Sunnis Islam, and that this would allow the Iranians, who have a desire for some degree of regional hegemony, to create inroads on their borders to threaten their basic security and the security of their borders.
While there is this overarching regional power politics play, in Yemen there's a huge humanitarian disaster. Why has this conflict caused such a humanitarian disaster to this extent?
Well, I think, you know, what we see, the current intervention by the Saudis and their allies in the GCC, they're not particularly worried about civilian casualties. They're not particularly worried about, you know, where the bombs land. It's very much a sort of what we, you know, I think of as kind of a Cold War, sort of pre-1990s clean conflict. There's the widespread use of things like cluster munitions. And as a result of this type of behavior on both sides, we have to remember that the Houthis are also engaging in these type of activities. We're seeing a great degree of civilian deaths. We're seeing the collapse of basic structures of state, such as food distribution, healthcare services, et cetera, which even before the conflict within Yemen were very limited. And there's obviously the fallout, which is this is overwhelmingly affecting the population.
Would you classify Yemen as a failed state currently?
Well, I think the question is, when did we kind of not classify Yemen as a failed state? Yemen, of all the states on the Arabian Peninsula, Yemen has always been the one that's most resisted the kind of imposition of a centralized authority. Now, this has to do both with the fragmented nature of Yemeni society. If we look at the actual geography, particularly in the north of the country, of this very rugged mountainous terrain, and the people living there, including the Houthis, have always been very resistant to the imposition of a kind of central authority, similar to like what we see in Afghanistan. As on top of this, we've also had historically the Saudis themselves sponsor a number of very powerful tribal groups inside Yemen to keep it divided, to keep it ununified, in order to prevent the formation of a coherent state on their borders. And this idea that even historically, you know, when you had the unification of Yemen in the early 1990s, that this was now like a clear, coherent nation state, this was mostly an illusion. This was still a very fragmented society. It's still a span of geography that really resists the imposition of a central authority.
within Yemen, obviously, there's a lot of people suffering, and Australia has just pledged $10 million to assist the people of Yemen, which is the first funding block they've given since the conflict broke out. Is Australia doing enough to help end this conflict?
Well, I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what can Australia actually do to end this conflict? We look at why the Saudis there. The Saudis are there because they feel that their existential security is threatened. They feel that, you know, Yemen is their kind of natural domain. And they feel it is being imposed upon, impinged upon by the Iranians. They feel that the Houthi resistance is a threat to that security. Australia, for all its soft power initiatives, can't really affect this security outlook by the Saudis. So it's a kind of a tragic situation where we can send aid, we can, you know, send assistance to help the refugees. But even then, you know, we have to consider, you know, how much of that money actually gets to those people on the ground. You know, this is an area which is full of corruption. It's full of lots of ways to siphon off these kinds of funds. And so at the end of the day, we aren't really sure how much of this is actually going to help those people.
And does this aid contradict our previous relationship with Saudi Arabia in terms of their dealings?
Not really. I mean, it's something that is obviously targeting the fallout of the civilians of the war, but not, you know, it's not helping the opposition, or ostensibly it's not helping the opposition. So it's not a case of we're funding, you know, the Houthi militants against the Saudis. I think, you know, assisting refugees is a pretty apolitical position anywhere, wherever you are in the world. And I don't think that necessarily conflicts with our close relationship with Saudi Arabia.
So what is a foreseeable end to this conflict?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. It's unfortunately what we sort of predicted would happen has happened, which is that the Saudis and their allies and the GCC coalition have really bogged down inside the country. They launched this ground offensive from the south and from the north, and they've sort of penetrated into the periphery of the Houthi heartland in the Sa'dah Mountains in the country's north, but they're not making much inroads. And what we're seeing is that as this occurs, attrition continues to happen, bombing campaigns continue to happen. Again, these continue to affect civilians. All attempts to create any kind of peace accords, to bring the two parties to the table, two is a very generous number also, since there's so many different actors involved underneath the hood. This is a conflict that will likely stretch on for the foreseeable future, much like Syria. There doesn't appear to be a bright light at the end of the tunnel.